So here we have our dirty cup bucket, and this is something that we want to have in the clinic space with us, close by to where we're performing cupping, so that when we finish with our cups, we can put them directly into some warm, soapy water, and they can sit in that warm, soapy water as long as they need to. So you can just keep collecting your cups in the bucket so that you can go and do your cleaning and disinfection all at one time. So here we are at the sink. Before I do anything with my cups here at the sink, I have cleaned and sanitized the entire sink and faucet area so that everything that I'm placing my cups on have actually been cleaned with the same product that I'm cleaning my cups with. So I actually use the expired hydrogen peroxide solution to do all the cleaning of the surfaces as well as my sheets when I finish, and everything to do with the cupping treatment, because it will still be between 3% and 5% potency at that point. So here is my bucket of dirty cups. And what I'm going to do is, I usually just run the water a little bit. I try not to waste too much. And then I'm going to thoroughly clean the cups, right, with this abrasive. So with some kind of abrasive object. Now, colleges don't really like sponges very much unless you are replacing them every time. I like to get bigger ones and then cut them in four, and I generally buy the cheaper ones because I'm not using them very much. Wash it thoroughly. You want to give it a good rinse, and then you want to put it on a rack to dry. So we're going to go through. I'm going to do a plastic cup, same thing, soapy, getting into all of the areas inside and out of the cup. I'm going to get in there with the abrasive, make sure all of the oil, dirt, bacteria, everything. We want those cups to be spick and span when we put them to dry. So we have these little baby cups, little baby facial cups and joint cups. Same thing. We've got to get inside. These little bottle brushes are amazing. Right, get into all those little cricks and cracks and put it to dry. The elongated facial cups, same thing. We're gonna get that all the way in there just in case there's any moisture, sweat, anything gets inside that cup. Good rinse. And finally, the glass cups. So I usually like to take a little bit of extra soap when I'm cleaning glass cups because they get some soot in from the fire. So you wanna make sure all of that cleaned out very well. Rinse. And then again, getting the abrasive in there and getting everything inside. Cool cup. I'm going a little fast because I don't want to waste your precious time, but I want you to see exactly how you want to wash the cups. So once the cups are washed, they need to be completely dried before you move on to the disinfection process. So you can either leave them to dry on a drying rack, or you can hand dry them with either a freshly laundered cotton cloth or a paper towel. I prefer freshly laundered cotton cloth because it's more environmentally friendly. Also, I have these microfiber cloths, and I also clean those with hydrogen peroxide so they're freshly cleaned. So the cups are here on the rack to dry, but I want to use them soon, so I'm going to go ahead and dry the cups. Always wearing rubber gloves for safety. these guys. You gotta make sure. Get all those droplets inside. This plastic cup. Gotta look at that water. Just gotta make sure that's all dry. That's why plastic cups aren't the most sanitary right there. That's where the bacteria and mold and all kinds of things grow. So I always give my plastic cups lots of extra time. So the next stage of the disinfection process is creating the disinfection solution and performing the disinfection process. So what you want is you want a bucket that is not transparent because peroxide products are photosensitive. Now, at this point, I will point out that the products that you can use for disinfecting cups that will create high-level disinfection are glutaraldehyde or hydrogen peroxide at a dilution of 6 to 7.5%. So there are a couple of products on the market that are already mixed, and they have stabilizers in them as well. One of them is Sporox. So if you are using Sporox, you have one less step at the beginning because you pour the Sporox gallon directly into your disinfection and you directly disinfect. But at the end of the disinfection process, after your cups come out of the solution, you need another bucket with baking soda and water. So that is, I believe, a cup of baking soda for a gallon of water to neutralize the chemicals in that have gotten on the cups from the Sporox solution. When you're doing hydrogen peroxide, you don't need to do that. You just rinse them with water. Okay, so now we're gonna start. So in an ideal world, we're using distilled water with our peroxide solution because that is pure H2O. So that means that the peroxide has no work to do with just the water. If you're using tap water, the peroxide is going to remove the fluoride and the chlorine and any bacteria and anything that is in the water, as well as what's on your cups. So when you use tap water, I recommend that you just make it a little bit stronger with your peroxide because some of it is already going to be used up. So the ratio with 35% hydrogen peroxide, to get 7.5%, you have to dilute this. So 7 times 5 is 35. We want 7.5. So rather than 5 cups of water or measures of water to 1 measure of peroxide, you do a little bit less. So it's about 4.75. if you're using water, and 4.86 if you're using distilled water. So that is the ratio with 35%. But basically you wanna get it to 7.5%. If it is 6%, it's still okay as long as you're doing at least 30 minutes. 6 to 7.5% is the safe zone. So the other thing you should know is this peroxide has a 21-day, not in the gallon, but mixed, has a 21-day shelf life. So you may have to make sure that every 3 weeks at the most, you're changing your peroxide. But you can keep the solution covered in a dark space for 21 days. So let's get started. So I've put my water in here. This is the last one. I'm doing just under 3 3/4. Because I'm using tap water, and then one of these of peroxide. See my gloves. Make sure when you're using this product at any dilution that you are very careful that you use gloves at all times. I bleached the sink this morning and here is the proof. I ruined my shirt. So here we go. So we're pouring the peroxide in with the water. I'm gonna rinse this right away so that nobody gets burned. I'm gonna set it to the side. And then my dry cups are going in the solution. So when your cups are disinfecting, you always want to have the lid on. If you have a closing lid, it's a very good thing. So once your disinfection period has finished, so that's 30 minutes for high level disinfection, 6 hours for sterilization. So if you've created a lot of cupping marks and you think that blood may have come out of the body, or any kind of bloodletting, any concern whatsoever with blood, you want to leave your cups for 6 hours. And I also recommend, even though it has a 21 day shelf life at that point, I would replace the hydrogen peroxide just to be extra safe. Okay, so we're gonna take the lid off with our gloved hands. Okay, we're gonna set the lid aside and we're gonna rinse the cups. So this is the point that if you were using Sporox, you would rinse them and dry them, and then you would put them in a water and baking soda solution for 1 minute. In this case, with peroxide, we just need to rinse them, dry them, and store them. So, cups are rinsed, peroxide solution goes away, preferably into a dark place. Cups can either be left here to dry, they can be hand dried, they go into your cup container that has a lid, and into storage for next time.